This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get ready, my friends. We've got a jam-packed Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line. So much to get to, and glad to have you along for the ride. A long time, three-time Super Bowl winning executive and strategist Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, and Michael, we missed you yesterday.
I'm getting alerts as soon as the show starts off.
Well, that's got to be a good thing.
Jamar Chase is just sore. He's just sore. It's going to be okay. Good morning, Stormy. Good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing well. Better than Jamar Chase's sore back, it appears. But I was just saying, we missed you yesterday. But when, obviously, football done right is in high demand. And so when people are calling you, you got to get out there and keep promoting the book. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was good. It was a nice quick trip in and out of San Antonio. Nice time. Nice visit. Came back. I got caught in the airport. I get McAfee calls me on the phone. It's amazing. You get to do his, I don't even know what the hell he was calling me about. But I was doing the book fair and somebody said, hey, they're talking about you going back to New England. I'm saying, I ain't going back anywhere. I can just tell you, I'm trying to get out of San Antonio today. That's where I'm going.
That was great, though. You're walking through the airport on FaceTime. You know, the thing that people don't understand about Bill Belichick, so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. But anyway, life goes on, and we're here. We got week 10 of the season start. We didn't have a chance to recap Monday night. I mean, everybody was on the Jets, which when they put that graphic up at the Worldwide Leader where they're all on one team, you should immediately dash to the window, and know you're going to cash that ticket. You just know it. Now, I mean, if it's the Giants versus the Cowboys, I would say don't do that. I don't think there's ever going to be a sentence you feel good about if you're saying Tommy DeVito's our starting quarterback for the rest of the year. Could you imagine standing in front of America and saying that? I feel bad. I don't mean to be harsh on Tommy DeVito. I really don't. But, you know, it does require a elite skill set to be a starting quarterback in the league. I mean, Clayton Toon last week, 48. I mean, that was not fair to him. Is this going to be fair to Tommy DeVito?
Okay, so Michael, geez, so many ways that I can go with this. But how about we start because some
with
big
the rundown stay on course.
I'm going to try to
jumping all over
I'm
the place.
I'm going to keep us on course
Caesar's
with the rundown.
Caesar's probably already mad at me. Yes, Caesar's already mad at me.
So you mentioned Clayton Toon. And in addition, yes, to recapping Monday night, yesterday the news became official that the Arizona Cardinals are going to go ahead and move forward with Kyler Murray at quarterback. And we've had a lot of discussions on this show about the injury guarantees. Should he get hurt if he goes back out there on the field and plays and doesn't pass his physical come March, those guarantees, millions of dollars all of a sudden get locked in. How surprised were you when you saw that? Hey, let's move forward. Let's give Kyler a shot now that he's back fully healthy. We're going to activate him to the roster.
Well, I think that last part of your sentence, I don't know if that's true. I watched him move around. He didn't look fully healthy to me. Now, this is going to be my Hall & Oates play this week without a question of a doubt because there's too much uncertainty. You can't play Atlanta and assume that they're going to be okay. And you can't play Arizona and assume that Murray's going to be back to where he was when he left the game. Like, there's just too much here. Like, Murray wasn't playing at a high level when he hurt his knee. Forget about now that he comes back off the knee. Does he have his quickness? Does he have his acceleration? Does he have his explosiveness? Can he avoid tacklers? Those are all things that I have serious doubts about. And when I watched him move around, the little bit that I did, he didn't look good doing it. He didn't look the same. Now, he could have been loafing, and I understand that, and he could have been duping everybody. But I find this hard to believe that they're going to let him go out there and risk 90-some million dollars of future earnings. And they're not even sure he's going to be the quarterback. Now, what they're probably saying to themselves is, look, we know we could trade him. If we get the first pick overall in the draft, we'll probably be able to get some huge asset. Because let's face it. I mean, we're going to talk about it later in the show. How many bad quarterbacks are playing in the league? As much as you may not like Kyler Murray, as much as you may not like his contract, he's going to be better. I mean, Derek Carr got $40 million in the market last year.
But so help me talk through the contract side of it all. Because if you do, like, let's say he goes out there, plays great. He ups his trade value in the market. Like, the numbers of the cap hit and dead cap hit that you have in 2024 is significant. Like, $81.5 million in dead cap next year. Like, is that a tradable contract in your mind?
Well, it depends on that dead cap is all, it's not, it's all centered on what is guaranteed. Right now, that looks guaranteed, but if it doesn't become guaranteed and it's only injury guaranteed and he's healthy, that number's not as high as that. So it comes down a little bit. Look, I mean, the Giants are going to count next year. What are they going to, $36 million? They got to count on their cap of guaranteed money for Daniel Jones. This is the problem you get into when you have a contract with a quarterback and he gets hurt. It's just the reality of it all. There's no escape. Like, there's no wiggle room for the Giants. There is wiggle room in this contract only because if they decide to not have him on the team on the fifth day of the league year, they get away with some of those guarantees and they basically eat the signing bonus of which they gave him. That's the only thing they got to eat. The future seasons isn't that dramatic.
So as far as things go for this week, you say it's the Hall & Oates play. I can't go for that. We're going to stay away from it. But right now, Arizona is getting 1.5 points against the Falcons, total 42.5. You mentioned the last time that we saw Kyler Murray, right? And yes, we know he's a 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year, threw for over 3,700 yards, 3 seasons in a row, touchdown interception ratio around 2-1 for his career. But the last time we saw him, let's remember that the Arizona Cardinals were 3-8 at the time of his injury. He was averaging a career low 6.1 yards per pass attempt, had 7 interceptions. It was kind of a dumpster fire. We were seeing the signs of regression all season, it felt like, that year. Now he's coming off of the torn ACL. You anticipate rust. I know it's not nearly as long of a time away as we saw from Deshaun Watson, but when Watson came back, I mean, it's taken a long time for him to get back to speed. And now he's also learning a new scheme that you're throwing into that as well. What's your anticipation on the field for Kyler Murray out the gates?
Well, let's go back to why he didn't have a good year last year. I think a lot of this started at the end of the year before in 21 when they were a playoff team. And they played Seattle at home in the last game of the year. And Seattle beat them. And Seattle wasn't a good team at this time, but they beat them. They rushed them a certain way, and they really curtailed any ability that he had to make plays. They made him a pocket passer. Then he goes to Los Angeles in a playoff game. I know the Rams went on to win the Super Bowl that year. However, that being said, this was not a good game. This was not a close game whatsoever. And so now, you know, people understand how to play him. So you go into the 22 season, and basically, you know, nobody's really worried about him in terms of we got to keep him in the pocket. Nobody's really worried about him. He's not going to beat you from the pocket. You got to keep him in there. I mean, last year against... So he goes up to Seattle in week six of the season. He throws for .171, you know, and Seattle knows how to play him. And so it becomes very challenging. All these teams that know, once you go through the cycle and you play against them a bunch, then all of a sudden there's really no answer. And that's where I think he is. And that's where I think it's going to be a problem. His height's a problem. And if he doesn't have that elite road runner type beep, beep, get out of the way, make plays, he's not a pocket passer. This is going to be a challenge.
So 8 games now, theoretically, if he stays healthy, to evaluate Murray in the eyes of the new regime. I wonder, too, if, like, obviously so much has been made about Kyler Murray off the field and his attitude in the video games and all the different things. But when you go through an injury like this, you see a lot of players come back with like a newfound love of the game. And when you don't have it, you want to be a part of it that much more. So I wonder if he is energized and tries to prove that he wants to be a part of this franchise. I don't know, but I also do know that at 1-8 right now, the Arizona Cardinals are sitting in the opportune spot to have the number one overall pick in next year's draft with some premier talent coming out. So like, if I'm Monty Austin Fort and I'm Jonathan Gannon, like my wheels are just turning like crazy right now. It's a lot with Kyler Murray right now.
No question. And what you have to do, if you're Monty, you've got to compare Murray, what you know of him, to whatever quarterback's available in the draft. That's what you have to do. That's what you should do all the time, because you have to ask yourself, is this kid better than I? Now, I think they'll be able to get picks. You know, and they got Chicago sitting there at 2 and 3. People say, well, Chicago should trade one of those and get, they shouldn't. The interesting team's going to be, what do the Giants do? You know, what do the Giants do? They got to pick a quarterback. Good luck trying to convince them of that. How about New England? We know they'll pick one. The Rams, they'll pick one. Green Bay's another one. I mean, all those teams sitting right there, there's a reason they're sitting there, Stormy, is because they don't have good quarterbacking play. I mean, it's pretty clear. You know, Sam Howell's a fifth-round pick, but he's actually played well. Mac Jones is a first-round pick. He hasn't played well. Jordan Love's a first-round pick. He hasn't played well. The reason you're sitting there is because your quarterback hasn't played well. You know, everybody wants to go somewhere where they have a great quarterback, right? Well, I mean, that's great. But what jobs open up that have a proven quarterback? Not many.
Mel Kiper reports as many as 7 quarterbacks are considered first rounders, according to NFL executives. I thought that was interesting. I didn't realize they felt there were that many, and there are certainly that many quarterback needy teams. Caleb Williams, the favorite to go number one, although the juice in that has kind of come down, Michael, minus 360 right now for Caleb Williams to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Drake May was 5-1. Now he's sitting plus 250, but other names, obviously, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, JJ McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, the list goes on. A lot of quarterbacks are coming out in this class that could be potential targets for those teams that need it.
Yeah, and I mean, they're all going to go. I mean, they're all going to go because where are you going to get one? Part of the problem is when you take over a team like Gannon did, right? You got to start that rebuilding program with the quarterback. It's one of the reasons why Eberflus, if he doesn't make it through the years, they were counting on Fields to be a good player. When he doesn't turn out, you lose your job.
You know,
I mean, look at the Raiders. They get rid of Carr, and then they go Garoppolo, and they lose your job.
I'm just disappointed. I wanted Clayton Tune to start so we could fade Arizona the rest of the way. I was really looking forward to it, and now I have all of these questions. We have a lot more quarterback talk when we return, and yes, we'll get to Michael's favorite player, the Tommy DeVito out of it all, next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Please drink responsibly. B21. Big Pinot Noir fan myself when I hit up the old Total Wine. Welcome back in to the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And just when you thought there would be no NFL home in 2023 from Carson Wentz, in steps the Los Angeles Rams, Michael. Brett Rypien, who started in the Rams' ugly loss to the Packers this past weekend, he has been waived. They're bringing Carson Wentz in to back up Matt Stafford, who's been dealing with that thumb injury. So making some moves on the bye week. But we were just talking in the previous segment about how rough the quarterback play has been, which has left me honestly a little bit surprised that it's taken this long for a veteran type of a guy like Carson Wentz to be able to find a home.
I don't think Carson Wentz doesn't get a job because people don't want the player. I think what happened in Indianapolis and what continued to happen in Washington, the disconnect with his teammates, I think that's what must keep him out. Because you're right. I mean, would you rather have Tommy DeVito going into Dallas
saying,
or would you rather have Carson Wentz? I mean, that's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. And I'm not a Carson. I was a Carson Wentz fan at one time when he played here in Philadelphia. That 16 season, I thought he was dynamic. 17 season. But since then, he hasn't been. But, I mean, Tommy DeVito wasn't good at Syracuse or Illinois. So let's pump the brakes on that one. I don't know. You know, to me, it's more personality fit in your locker room. And I think Sean McVay probably just said, now, I think you got to extend this down. Why would you sign Wentz? It's on a bye week. But you must believe Stafford's, A, not going to stay healthy or isn't going to get healthy.
Yeah, actually.
Right? I mean, why else do this?
Yeah, let's take a listen to a clip from Sean McVay at his press conference earlier this week, kind of laying out his thoughts on Matthew Stafford, and we can react after that. Take a listen.
Feel really good about Matthew and how much he's attacked, you know, doing everything in his power to be back and to lead the way for this team. And so we're going to look at a lot of different things over this break here, Gary. But I'm optimistic that I don't even think that's something that we have to worry about. But we will figure out whether it be, you know, not exclusive to the quarterback position, but at some other spots, you know, where possibilities to be able to add or add competition. And so that could be one of them. But we haven't made those decisions quite yet.
Like, he says that that's not something that they're thinking about or worrying about, and then says, oh, but we could bring in competition, and then ends up signing Carson Wentz the next day. So clearly it is something that you're worried about.
Right. And I mean, he's worried about his future, too. Not him specifically, but his quarterbacking future, because, you know, his, you know, we know that it's going to be hard to keep him healthy. And Stafford, when you look at his numbers and you do all this, the analytics, I mean, they haven't been good. And a lot of it isn't really his fault, because he gets the crap beat out of him and there's no protection, you know. But and the more they play against a physical line, it always becomes a little harder. Look, the kid's tough as hell. But when you go through it, I mean, this has not been a great year in terms of his percentage of completion, his touchdown percentage, you know, interception percentage is always going to remain the same. His success ratio is probably the lowest it's been. You'd have to go back to Detroit, you know. And so I think, to me, that's one of the things that have to concern yourself with, is he's not been able to do that. I mean, when you look at him at the Rams, he played 9 games last year. He's played 8 games this year. And the numbers are better in terms of down the field throwing, but the percentage of completion isn't there. And this line really hurts them.
So with the Rams now at 3-6, the bye week, ideally they get Matthew Stafford back for Seattle. But should he get hurt, it's Carson Wentz stepping in there. Does that give you confidence that the Rams could down the stretch go on to win some games? Or is it kind of a wash regardless of who's in there based on, like you just said, an offensive line that has continued to cause problems for their quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to get me to get behind the Rams. They come back off the bye and they start their second season like they started their first season with against Seattle at home. But they got Seattle, Arizona. The Cleveland, Baltimore games will be really hard for them, right? They can beat, they've beaten Seattle once. Be hard to beat them twice. But then they've got Cleveland and Baltimore, two teams they should not beat. Washington, they certainly could beat. New Orleans, the Giants, and the 49ers. I mean, there's 4 wins. They might be able to get 4 more wins out of that. They might be able to get their over total. But, you know, last week against – but that's predicated on the fact that they can keep everybody healthy. Look, we know this. The second half of games with the Rams, they tend to wear down. They're playing as good as you can play. But even the Packers moved the ball on them in the second half last week because they just don't have enough depth.
Yeah,
that's what kills them, Stormy. They don't have enough depth to hold on. I mean, I think this is probably one of the best coaching jobs Sean McVay's ever done. But he goes into Green Bay last week, and he's got no quarterback. He leaves there with 187 yards of total offense. Are we surprised he made a move? Of course not.
Yeah, I think if anything, Brett Rypien just proved he's not an NFL backup. And I think a lot of guys are showing that. And this weekend with Tommy DeVito, it's going to be very, very scary, I think, against a good team in the Dallas Cowboys that they have to face yet again. And they did go ahead and bring in Jacob Eason to the practice squad. Matt Barkley is Tommy DeVito's backup. And that's just 1, 2, 3 of rough if you're the New York Giants.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Giants are in a tough spot. I mean, 16.5 point dogs down there. They can't move the football whatsoever. You know, the running game, can they protect well enough? I mean, they didn't run the ball very well on the Raiders. Of course, they get behind in a game, you know, and then all of a sudden you got to make Tommy DeVito act like he's Joe Montana when he starts throwing it all over the place. Look, let's go to the Jets for a second. I mean, the Jets have been trying to manage Wilson, right?
Yeah.
Why do you think Wilson gets so many fumbles? He doesn't want to throw the ball. He doesn't want to throw the ball into crowded situations. He's scared of the interceptions. He'd rather have you and I talk about, well, you know, he's gone 100, almost 200 passes without an interception. That's more rewarding for him than it is to actually make a play. So why do you think he holds on to the ball all the time? He don't want to throw it. They've conditioned him not to throw it. Oh, you can't make that throw. Don't make that throw. And that's why it's the same thing here with DeVito. What are they going to do? If they get behind in a game, are they going to let DeVito chuck it? I mean, think about it. I mean, are they? I mean, this team has scored. I mean, since the Cardinal game, they haven't scored more than 16 points. They've been in double digits 3 times and single digits 3 times. They haven't scored over 16 points since that game. Of all the games they've played, the 9 games they've played, they've scored over 16 points 1 time.
Michael,
think about that.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
No, it's both of the New York teams are just awful to have to sit through and watch a football game, which why can we not flex them out of these primetime spots? I don't understand what we keep doing,
you know,
but
why
we're going to get them
because
again.
It's a New York. Yeah. It's a New York audience. You got the Raiders. I mean, look, the Raiders are, you know, the Raiders are a national team. Let's be clear. I mean, as Al Davis used to say all the time, the Raiders, right?
The Raiders.
You don't need a city in front of them. The Raiders, right? It was like the White House. So, you know, and then you get the New York market. How about I was listening to a podcast today and someone mentioned that Robert Saleh said on the air yesterday, he was on the Michael Kay show and they asked him why he wasn't making a move at quarterback. And he pleaded the fifth. He pleaded the fifth. Well, I can't talk. You know, I plead the fifth on that question. Like, there's nobody supporting the quarterback, nor should they. But yet they won't make a move. Like, who's driving that train? Joe Douglas?
So that's what I was going to ask you, because he is stood pat in all of his press conference saying, we're going to stick with Zach Wilson. He's our guy. We have faith in him. We're trying to develop him and allow him an opportunity to grow. But then he goes on the Michael Kay show and pleads the fifth like it's not his idea. So whose idea is it?
Yeah, I mean, who's running the team? Joe Douglas? I mean, you know, I mean, Joe Douglas's one loss record is you know, certainly not even as good as Saleh's. I mean, Saleh the other night, I mean, I was watching the game on the flight, and, you know, at what point were they going to, I know everyone talked about how great they are on defense and all that stuff, and they play certainly really good defense, but that doesn't, how are you going to play the game to win the game? I mean, how many more, even Troy was getting angry at the false starts.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Troy doesn't, the last couple of weeks, Troy has been very demonstrative in his displeasure of the teams. Clearly, after the Detroit game with the Raiders, I said to Millie, yeah, this is it. Josh is going to get fired. You could just tell from that the way that went. And the way it went for the Jets is the same thing. Now, is it going to be Nathaniel? Or is it going to be Saleh? But somebody's going to, you know, somebody's not happy in that building, or else Troy wouldn't be talking like that.
The Jets offense, one touchdown, 18 punts the last two games. They are 30th in the National Football League in points per game, 31st in yards per game, 30th in passing yards per game, and dead last in third down percentage. They were 3 of 17 in the Monday night game. And it's, as much as we want to put on Zach Wilson, and it has been bad from Zach Wilson, it's not all his fault. Like, there are guys offsides, illegal motions. Yes, the false starts, but the holding calls, the fumbling, like, it is coming from all areas offensively that they are struggling. And yeah, there's going to need to be some answers and some solutions to these problems. We'll get to, maybe in hour two, the Aaron Rodgers of it all, because we do have an update there, which, when do we not, coming off of an Aaron Rodgers Pat McAfee Tuesday. So you guys shared that in common this week. But like, his standpoint in it, does that narrative completely end if the Jets lose to the Raiders this weekend? So that's a conversation to have. We've got Harry Gagnon coming up next in the latest edition of the Thursday Night Cartoon. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You'll get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page, where you can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can also check on the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 at VSiN.com/subscribe. A little bit of technical difficulty, so we're going to try to get Harry Gagnon on in just a little bit. But so for now, you're still stuck with me and Michael, but I think you'll be all right with that. I think we have a lot of news still to hit around the National Football League, Michael. And one thing that caught me a little bit off guard that has been making the rounds and people have been weirdly excited about it was the Dallas Cowboys signing Martavis Bryant to their practice squad. Like, why are people so excited about this? This is a guy who's been out of the league since 2018, obviously had his fair share of problems when he was in the league, but 5 years removed from an NFL squad.
Yeah, it's shocking, right? And, you know, the Raiders ended up, that's one of the, another one of the Raiders' mistakes, right? They traded draft picks for him and, you know, he never played. They had Antonio Brown, never played. The list goes on and on. I don't know, Stormy. I can't imagine. He must have done something in the workout because he was scheduled to go to Tennessee and the Cowboys said, no, 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 you're going to stay here. We're going to sign you. Look, you know, where's Brandon Cooks been in the Cowboys offense, right? I mean, you know, they ended up redoing his contract. They paid him big money to redo the deal. And now you're signing Martavius Bryant. Like, are you really going to bring him up? I mean, something's going on there at that receiving thing. Because Cooks, he's got 17 catches. He's under 10 yards a catch.
Oh.
He's under 10 yards a catch. And they were counting on him being a huge part of what they did this year. So obviously this move tells me that there's something going on with they're not happy with their receivers. Or why would you take a guy who hasn't played in 5 years?
Right.
He must have looked really good. But that's where people stop the sentence. He must have looked good in the workout. But to me, I pick up the sentence saying, no, they got problems in their receiving core because they're trying to take some of the pressure off of Lamb. Their tight ends catch the ball well. But boy, oh boy, they got to get another receiver. I mean, yeah. They're at crunch time, they're throwing the ball to Tolbert.
So what I will say about Martavis Bryant, and I covered him closely when he was in the XFL last year with the Vegas Vipers. He is still a physical specimen, right? He's still big. He's still fast. Speed is always going to be a valuable commodity at the NFL level. But he looked extremely disinterested constantly, had so many drops, missed big play opportunities, gave up on routes. It was odd to me. And maybe getting another opportunity at the NFL after making your plea for a number of years and being rejected, Roger Goodell finally saying, okay, we'll reinstate you. Maybe that could fix it, the lack of interest. But I don't know. I just didn't really see it from him from that standpoint. And I actually got a note from, I was like going back and forth over text with somebody who was working for the team last year, the XFL team in Vegas. And he said, if fans think Cowboys receivers are bad right now, outside of Lamb, obviously, wait until Martavis drops two or three easy balls in crucial situations. And that's if he makes it to a game. I don't think that happens. So that was just somebody who was around him day in and day out.
So Gallup, Cooks, I mean, we talked all summer when they got Cooks. We talked about how their receiving core with Lamb. You know, you add Gallup in there, right? You add Cooks. Cooks, both of them, neither of them have a pass over 30 yards. Cooks got two touchdowns, but again, Cooks is under 10 yards a catch. I mean, there's clearly the Cowboys offensive staff are saying, we're not happy with our receivers. And that's a concern. And I feel like, look, when you watch that tape and you watch the all 22 of that game last week, they know they had their opportunity to make plays. If they had better receiver, if they were better at the receiving core besides Lamb, these Eagles corners can't cover anybody. They really can't. And they missed their opportunity. They missed their mark. I mean, they had their chances sitting there first and five from the six, and they false start and they end up going and having to go back to the third 25.
Yeah, so Dallas, a team that obviously feels like they should be contending in the NFC, always seem to come up short. They came up short, obviously, in that game against the Eagles. So we'll see if they can start to put some things together. I'm just not sure that Martavis Bryant is the answer to upgrade that wide receiver room.
Yeah,
how about in Tennessee? Also, Michael, while you were out yesterday, Mike Vrabel, why can't I speak today? Mike Vrabel came out and said that they are going to move forward with Will Levis as their starting quarterback and Ryan Tannehill will be the backup. I think it's a great move that you started to get a glimpse of what the future could be. Use these last eight or so games to really find out if you have your quarterback of the future. But what was your instant reaction when you heard Vrabel come out with that?
I think he had no choice, right? I mean, he's got a young player, and what have we talked about all the time on this show? Get some hope, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you saw the Raiders react to O'Connell. You know, that gave him hope. You saw the Raiders react to Hoyer. It didn't give him any hope. I think it's the same thing here. It gives them some hope. They played well for the kid. Look, they've got a lot of injuries. The right tackle's been hurt. The left tackle's not very good. The backup right tackle's been hurt, Hubbard. So they're kind of beat up front. But he's hung in there and made throws down the field. If they could keep Burks healthy, which is a hard thing to do, they have a better chance. I'm surprised this week they're a dog by a point to Tampa. Tampa's secondary doesn't look like they can cover anybody. Like, I mean, when you watch the game against Houston where C.J. Stroud in the second half just torched them, you're sitting there saying, whatever happened to the Tampa defense? To me, Tennessee will, A, run the ball on Tampa because the misnomer is you can't run the ball on Tampa. That's not true anymore. And I think Levis will have a good day throwing. I'm surprised that line hasn't flipped a little bit. I know Tampa's playing at home, but Tampa's actually a better road team than they are a home team. When you break it down, I mean, the best away teams this year in football are Jacksonville, Baltimore, San Francisco, Tampa, and New Orleans. The worst away teams are Denver, Arizona, Carolina, Las Vegas, and the Giants.
Yeah, and this is a Bucs team too, Michael, that's lost four straight games, five of their last six, and haven't shown as many glimpses of bright spots, I think, as Tennessee has since bringing Will Levis in. Like, they've looked pretty solid. I like what you said about him hanging in. He doesn't flinch under pressure. He's keeping his eyes downfield when guys are coming to clock him. Like, I've been very impressed in the small two-game sample size of what we've seen from Tennessee. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do end up seeing a flip as we get closer to game time on Sunday. And also just looking forward for the season as a whole, again, about going ahead and using Will Levis and saying that he's the guy. Like, at 3-5, they're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. I think it's, especially given the salary numbers that they have next year, they have the most salary cap room for the 2024 offseason of anybody. See what you've got in Will Levis. Have an opportunity to build for the future. Get some assets next year. I think it'll be interesting to see what Tennessee could do in the future, and Mike Vrabel's a great coach to do it.
Yeah, I think, to me, they've got to get they're closer if they take these games to get their team ready, build some. Not that they're going to quit, but they're going to play hard. They're going to be a hard out no matter what. I mean, as long as you got Jeffrey Simmons, you got Tart, you got this defensive front, you're going to be tough to block. And the Bucs will have a hard time. It's hard to run, though. Even though teams have run the ball of late on them, it's still hard to run. But I think, to me, you're building for something. You're giving your fan base hope. And I think that's ultimately what they didn't do in Las Vegas. And I think that's where teams make a huge mistake when they go to these veteran. Like, you go to Tommy DeVito, are you giving the rest of the guys in the locker room? I hate to pick on the kid, but are you giving hope? They watch practice too, Stormy. They watch practice.
I feel bad that it always comes back to Tommy DeVito, but you're right. It's a completely different feel when you bring in Will Levis and the pop that he brings to your offense, and like the excitement versus Tommy DeVito, and you're just feeling like, oh gosh, let us just get through this game. I feel like, and the spread is 16, and it keeps on, like, all of the money is on Dallas.
It went to 17. It ticked down at 17 to 16.5. But here's where I think fans don't realize: when the head coach goes in front of the team and says, we're going to start Tommy DeVito, you know, the players don't say, well, he has no choice. The players are like, I trusted you to put the best players on the field. And I trust the GM to do that. You lose as an organization, you lose that trust. That's a hard thing to overcome. You know, now you say, well, we have no choice. Yeah, you do. You could have signed. And then you see Carson Wentz sign and you didn't. Right? You see what I'm saying? The locker room, you can't fool them. They know. They know exactly what's going on.
And that goes back to exactly what you were saying about the Raiders.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's where you could feel it. The energy from the Chicago game to the game last week against the Giants was twofold. Are they a better team? No. But they played better because they were interested in playing. When he announced that they were going to start Hoyer, the team said, okay, you're quitting, we'll quit. Now, that's not what they were intending to do when they made that decision, but that's how it came out. That's to me, had I been in the room, I would have said, we can't do this. This is what's going to cause effect. You know, when you start DeVito without evidence at practice that he's a good player. See, O'Connell had a ton of practice, and he was good in practice. The players see this. You can't fool the players.
Yep, and it's important to keep that locker room together and energized. We will take a quick timeout, but back here on the Lombardi Line next, get some Thursday Night Football talk and more of the NFL slate with Harry Gagnon.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. That's V-E-G-A-S. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
Gas Gag Not Harry here, and I'm on the Quicksilver track to victory. But first, a short pit stop.
This week, I'm riding with Carolina getting the points. The Bears are harder to watch than an episode of Dr. Pimple Popper. That'll gas me up. Don't forget to buckle up. Duh, the game is about to start. Keep crashing. I mean, keep cashing.
The Gagnon 69 car has been disqualified due to weight issues.
Another instant classic as the pick is in on Thursday Night Football from our guy, Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast, former Las Vegas sportsbook supervisor. And actually, Harry, I disagree. Dr. Pimple Popper is not hard to watch. I am a big fan. I love those videos.
That's great. Look, yeah, you guys, good to talk to you guys again. Listen, I this is a tough game. This is a real tough game to watch and try to handicap. But I am going to take the 3.5 here, basically because I think it's just in principle, the Bears shouldn't be a 3.5-point favorite against anybody. Now, their earlier game this year on a Thursday was against Washington on the road, and they were a dog in that game. That was the best game they played this year, put up 40 points. But I just think in this situation, I cannot have them. I just can't have them as a favorite more than a field goal here. I'm taking the 3.5. And I got a prop. I got a player prop. People may like a little bit better guys here. How about Adam Thielen? 70 yards receiving or more at -130. He's one of the Panthers' leading receiver. 6 of the last 7 games. He has 62 receptions, guys. 62. The next closest Panther is Jonathan Mingo with 20, and he has 62. Thielen has had 70 or more yards in 5 of the last 6 games. 3 of those 5 games have been over 100. And by the way, the Bears are 28th in the league in passing yards against. Thielen, 70 yards or more on Thursday night.
Harry, I'm going to disagree with you on your pick, and I'll tell you why. The last 4 games, I think if you really peel back the layers of Chicago defensively, that you cannot run the ball. They're the best run defense in the league. And they on yards per attempt, they've been really good in that area. They've improved over the last 5 weeks in terms of every single statistical category. They're getting some guys back healthy. This Panther team can't throw the football effectively. They have a hard time protecting. They can't run the ball, which they won't be able to. And Bryce Young turned the ball over twice for 2 pick 6. Now, all that being said, you know, when you break the team down, this team gave up 24 points last week to the Saints, and they turned it over 5 times and tried to hand them more points, and they couldn't do it. So, you know, with the Panthers being 27th in EPA on offense, Chicago's 23rd, the Panthers are 29th EPA right on defense, the Bears are 30th. So, I mean, it's 2 bad teams playing. I get your logic. I just think one team's playing better than the other.
No, and I'm not disagreeing. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I know Carolina did get their win against Houston, who had a great win last week. But, I mean, still, again, just 2 bad teams. It's a tough game to handicap. In Chicago's last 11 home games, they've won by 3 or more in just 2 of them. I know what you're saying, Mike, and they have been playing a lot better defensively, Chicago has. But in this spot, maybe this is, again, they're a favorite. I don't like Chicago here. Maybe they win by a field goal. The 3.5 maybe gets there for the Panthers.
Host of the Against All Odds podcast, Harry Gagnon, joining us here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now, you have had success recently with these teasers, and last week I felt like was a great teaser week. This week, looking ahead to some numbers too, it seems like there are some really good options on the board. What are you putting together?
Yeah, we've done okay. We've hit 4 straight teasers on the show, 5 out of our last 6. So how about this? I'm going to do a 6-point teaser. I'm going to take the Bengals from 6.5 down to -0.5 at home against Houston. Look, a great job by C.J. Stroud and the Texans. 4 wins already this year when they were 3-13-1 last year. A crazy win last week against Tampa Bay and a great comeback. But this is a different animal. You're playing Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They are really starting to roll. 4 wins in a row, 5 of the last 6. I know the Bengals may be without Jamar Chase, but since he has Baltimore next week, they can't afford to lose this one. Then they've got Pittsburgh and Jacksonville after that. Cincinnati's 9-1 straight up at home in their last 10. So the Bengals basically just to win against Houston. And how about this one, guys? Pittsburgh, Green Bay under the 38.5. Let's push it to 44.5. Let's go under. Green Bay games have landed 36 or less 4 straight and have averaged just 30 points per game in that stretch. Pittsburgh games also landed 36 or less points in four of the last five. Pittsburgh's 31st in yards per game, 29th in points per game. Green Bay 23rd in yards per game as well. And listen, Love completing only 59% of his passes. Kenny Pickett, not much better at 61%. Let's go. Pittsburgh, Green Bay, under 44.5, and the Bengals just to beat the Texans at home.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, the one thing about the Packers, they don't show up until the second half anyway. So, right. You know, I mean, you don't have to worry about that over going hit. And then Green Bay, and look, Mike Tomlin's dealing with that pebble in his shoe because he's got his man, you know, not getting the ball to Pickens enough. So he's complaining. He's going to have to deal with that. Yeah, I see that one clear. I like that one, Harry.
Yeah, it's like what's going on with this Pittsburgh offense just continues to struggle. Still not that great running the ball. And what Pickens had, what, one catch last week, Michael, for like -2 yards, not getting it done.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah, no question.
Appreciate your time, Harry. I know you've got big things to do today, so we're going to let you go early, but appreciate your insight and time.
Thanks, Harry.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Harry Gagnon, follow him at AAO Harry on X. Michael, let's talk through that Steelers-Packers game, though, because, I mean, Pittsburgh just continues to find ways to win, and obviously the Packers are coming off that big win against the Rams, but we also know the situation of that game, and it was against Brett Rippon, and it was a game they needed to and had to have. But I feel like with Pittsburgh, I want to lay this number so bad, and I just don't know if I can get there because they've played games so weird lately. They've been outgained in every single game.
Yeah, but they're point yards per point defensively. They're the third best team in the league, right? They're really good in that. I mean, so, you know, they're able to do a nice job on that. And so, you know, it takes 18.5 yards for a team to get a point against Pittsburgh's defense, okay? In contrast, Carolina, it only takes 11. They're 32nd. Oh, by the way, Chicago's 31st at 12.5. So to me, that's a really important number. You got to look at what they're able to do. And this defense, just for whatever reason, the leadership, you know, and then they get Hayward back this past week. They find ways to win games. It's ugly. It's not pretty. You know, you don't like anything about what they do offensively. But they seem to just kind of come to life in the fourth quarter, and they make enough plays to win a game. I mean, like, is there any reason why this team should have beaten Baltimore 17-10? Of course not. Of course not.
I just want a convincing win from the Steelers. Like, I don't want it to come down.
They're not going
to
find one. I don't think you're going to see one. It's like, you know, they're the boxer that's never going to come out of the fight without getting cut. Right. They're just going to get cut. They're going to get beat up. They're never going to be like, you know, Muhammad Ali, look at my face. It's so pretty. Like, they're never going to have the pretty face. Right.
They are 3-0 outright and ATS against teams, though, with losing records. So that is pretty to me. All three of those games went under. And speaking of, if he wanted to tease and take the under based on what Harry was saying about this situation, Steelers game 7-1 to the under this season, including their last six straight. And what you mentioned about the Packers in the first half, those slow starts being a steady fade, I might get back in business on that here. Last week was the first time they had a halftime lead since week two. It was only 7-3. They have been outscored 52-16 in the first half since week two, 6-1-1 as well to the first half under this season. So I think that as far as the Green Bay Steelers game, there are a lot of different ways that you can get involved in this one. I'm just curious of whether or not I can get there at the full field goal. I wish it was a 2.5. I really, really do.
Yeah, I mean, I know, and it's ticked up to what, 3.5 now? Or there's some three
there's
still
some
out
three
there.
Still, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you trust Jordan Love against this rush? I don't trust Jordan Love.
Period. Let alone against a good defense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but then again, you don't trust Kenny Pickett either. So it's kind of like damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? You know, it's like you know, this is one thing when you get two bad quarterbacks going against each other. You're like, are we sure we want to do this one here? You know, I like Tomlin when he's a dog. Not that he's not a good coach as a favorite, but I like him as a dog. But what's interesting about this line, Stormy, no one's betting the Packers. They have very little money coming in. They got tickets, but no money.
because everybody saw last week and not a soul believed in what they saw. We're going to take back here real quickly, but when we return, resetting for hour two of the Lombardi Line. So much more to get into, including an update on Michael's latest article on VSiN.com. We'll be right back.